interrupting the current neo-uronial, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, pustulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM498. As we close in on the great 500 there at RLM Radio. Don't know what we're going to do that day. Just another day to me in a way, but we'll see. I guess that's a big deal. And we keep moving along week by week by week, watching this literal Santa reset. They say there's transformation. It's all inside the record to see. And I'm not sure people appreciate this and how that's being done. And again, they just move in our silence, and the crickets. We think it's a nice, balmy, warm summer day. And these people are taking us apart piece by piece. This is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours, break-free. Hope you do appreciate all that. I know it's some Fast and Furious, but... No, not Fast and Furious. But anyway, Fast and Furious, break-free at RLM. And thank you to all you all that have donated in the past and continue to do so. Keep this broadcast running. Keep the network going. Again, it's still in rebuild mode. It's going to be there for a while as we just keep bringing information here. It just gives me a place to get the information out. And hopefully, those that appreciate that can pick up this information and start to understand where they can defend themselves and how. And this is the thing that I don't see many people understanding actually how this is coming down on us. We speak in the terms of constitutional rights and this and that, and those things are about gone because no one's insisting that the law be faithfully executed. And then they turn their attention to the Bar Association members, which have an opinion that is only an opinion, actually. And it can be very, very, very wrong. Can I say very enough? So, remember, being free of all this tyranny is not a spectator sport. So, as I ask you, get by the woodshed, bring the miscreants to justice such that it is. And that's the other interesting thing you're going to find out. There may not be much, actually, and people are silent to that. So, moving from last week and moving in through this week, we closed last week on pointing out that Rishi Sunak, the new prime minister over there in the UK, really wasn't he's not the conservative that everybody thinks. Ultimately, I'm trying to point to you to show you the takedowns and economic takedown. And he's said to be a, quote, banker working for Goldman Sachs. And I wanted to show you back again how he moves into pretty quickly the agenda, which we understand now, if those of you listening behind Woodshed and others that are understanding a bit of this. And I got to caution us, we can hear it, but I'm telling you, it's in the law and you can see it. It's already been working and the foundation's been laid for the takedown. Until people figure that out, that we're going to be working behind the times, many steps behind. But I wanted to move back into the UK for a moment to move us into another subject matter area, which I can't cover. I'm actually 3 weeks late on this, on this subject matter, but it brings us through as a continuum through the UK and back into the war. And what's been the war drums pounding, and where part of the economic destruction is the need to continue an economy that was failed in wrong policies, and this is globally as well, but for the United States, as we see, history tells us, they need a war. And so we hear those drumbeats. And whether or not all that's just a cover really for this other stuff that's actually working more in your face, like the Kobe swindle, I don't really know that, but it's whether it runs a cover or not, we're being taken down incrementally. And that's what I've been trying to point out to people, how to position yourself outside of what you can. When it gets to an economic takedown, it becomes much more difficult. And maybe next week we're going to touch an economic subject matter. We're going to show you that it is unraveling, whatever they're saying. You may know that, but you're going to have to, it's so abstract, it's hard to really know where to place ourselves. And part of that is just, as I've been asking people, don't engage, don't allow themselves to engage the system that's provided and start working for the more foundational things that can work local to them. I've had a detractor working locally with them, with the people around them, and finding bad blood, a bad interpretation, people who don't understand or are ignorant. I say that's just going to be an opportunity for you to educate them better. Locally. Doesn't mean you can do business with them anymore if you're a local business owner that is underneath the mind control of the news, but that gives you the opportunity to make that, fix that, if you will, or offer information for them to carry on and you move along. We're in a real trouble. And so I've never said it different, and everyone has their ideas, and I see lots of people telling, suggesting I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm buying into the situation. I'm not at all. They're not listening to me. Not listening to me in the least when you say that. And so that's not a good thing. That just shows more the division. And moving back into the UK, wanted to show you the Sunak dude was not what you thought it was. And we were closing over on the cop movement here that's moving along and all that other stuff. And that's just the front too, because the workings are already in your government. More to the point, moving into the war subject matter now and the beating of the drum, that's really a serious thing. I don't know really more what to say than we're at the razor's edge of a mistake. And I guess that's more of my concern. But here we have in the UK, where everyone thought they were Brexiting. And I told you, no, they're going to pull out the king's now, the king's property, and they'll put it back in piecemeal where they need to. And you'll start to see what the important objects are in the world by watching it happen. And sure enough, moving from the war against you through sustainable development, we move into the more tangible, literal war scenario where we see the UK is instrumental in fomenting, and they're not Brexiting relative to the more important things that always been under the skin of this, where we find UK to join EU military scheme. London's plans to fast-track troop deployment are related to Ukraine conflict, the Dutch defense minister told the Times. And so, as I'm reporting from the RT, so we're getting everybody's angle here. But it doesn't really matter. We're going to get this information. We have to qualify it. The point is we look at their deeds. In fact, we'll have some tabs here that show that. UK deeds already involved. They've never been away. Whatever Brexit was is not really what people think. And you see that kind of folding under Sunak pretty quickly here. The UK is about to re-enter the EU's military mobility project, which seeks to boost the speed of military movements in Europe, especially in case of war. Dutch Defense Minister Kajsa Hollengren told the British media on Tuesday, speaking to the Times, Hollengren revealed that ministers in the bloc are expected to approve Britain's return to the project, which it left after Brexit as early as next month. The Dutch-led initiative seeks to simplify cross-border military transport procedures and cut through red tape, which would allow its participants to send personnel and equipment to the front line more quickly should the need arise. Well, look very carefully. It says personnel. And so here we have it, moving into the next information that's coming around from the gray zone. Leaked documents, British spies constructing secret terror army in Ukraine. Documents, again, there's no Brexit from what you heard. NATO was already always the military. It was already a lid over the whole type of this thing. That was never done. They really never exited. They're just making it more formal that they're actually going to acknowledge that to the public. But we already have the documents obtained by the Grey Zone reveal plans to buy a cell of British military intelligence figures to organize and train covert Ukrainian partisan army with explicit instructions to attack Russia targets in Ukraine. And we've seen that happening. This was a couple weeks old story. As we were starting to learn about that Crimea bridge thing, point is the UK is instrumental in integration already, and we're being confirming that by their supposed reintegration to the project that they were involved to make mobilization of material and personnel with less red tape. The underlying, obviously, thing of this is that the U.S. is actually committed to a war, whether or not Russia wants to call it that, and whether or not the United States and the West wants to give credit to Russia's concerns, which they have not been. And that's partly my main objection to all this. As I've told you early on, the situation snookered me for a week. I didn't quite understand something that I noticed another thing happen within the week. I told you that I didn't see how Russia had the ability, and then the statements that came out from Russia. And so we better take those serious. Don't disregard that. Don't do what the West is doing and undiplomatically not listen. And then make up stories. This, because of these making up of the stories, this irrationality or the professed statements that appear to be irrational as well, could create mistakes. On October 28th, the Ukraine drone attack damaged the Russian Black Fleet's flagship vessel in the Crimea port of Sevastopol. Moscow immediately blamed Britain for assisting the orchestrating the strike, as well as blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines, the worst act of industrial sabotage in recent memory. And I'll keep track of this. This is an economic hit, an infrastructure hit that really was to the civilian, and that should be considered a war crime to do all that. As we heard Russia reiterate, and everyone seemed to know before, the rules of engagement are you don't intentionally go after infrastructure, civilian needed infrastructure. In fact, you're watching Russia attack the electrical infrastructure and power infrastructure, but they're only, at least we're hearing the reports, they're only attacking those that the military is also using. So we're seeing a consistency, and I would have been feeling a whole lot better about the West position if they would have been doing that as well. But I've seen absence of it. And this becomes the question and the concern for me, and I would suspect maybe for all of us. This becomes a mistake that has ramifications that the whole world becomes involved in. So, the British Ministry of Defense issued a blustery denial in response, granting the accusation false claims on an epic scale. And so we have the give and take. That front doesn't matter. There's real things going on. There's enough evidence to show us that Russia didn't do it to itself. Epstein didn't kill himself. This is a setup for the takedown, or if you can want to buy into it, it promotes a Western position that has no basis, in my mind, has no basis nor diplomacy, which we were supposed to use as the front line to stop any mistakes ahead of time. Why, I said earlier, Putin had ensured that they were going to set their position up relative to this next threat that they had found. We heard there about the nuke threat. The West wants to keep attributing to Putin saying he'd use the nukes. And if you listen carefully, he was saying, those aren't off the table where you continue, the West, you continue to encroach. And again, they had their basis. Now, that issue between the West and the East should have been diplomacy working, not this aggression that we start seeing. The UK want integrating so they get their personnel through quicker, at warp speed apparently, through to this war that's really fomented by the West because it's not listening. And it wants to foment. Why? Because we have a problem at home and the public is apparently okay with that. I hear some changes are in the wind about no more money to Ukraine. It's not going to stop this. Ukraine is a sideshow. It was someone, a Twitter celebrity, said himself, even though he denies it's a war, it's a proxy war. I told him, I said, well, you're pointing to an economic attack, which is exactly a direct war by sanctions. You say that Ukraine's a sideshow, and it is, because the United States directly attacked Russia through sanctions immediately. That's economic. That's an economic direct war. And so we're not in a proxy war at that point, and the sideshow makes it look like it's a proxy war. And I want people to understand we are in war, and these people in the West are not going to turn away from it. And partly it seems to me they need it relative to our economy. That's another economic, well, it's a fraud. It's a setup for the takedown reason, but that's what they're utilizing. It's not supposed to turn on what's going on in Russia or even the EU either, but it is. And Russia MOD has info on contacts between UK and on nuke tech. And this is where the escalation starts to happen here. This is, an older story. I'm getting to this a little late. I just can't get to all this stuff when I wanted to, when the tempo was up. But I don't think it's really, it's lost its steam at this point because of the supposed, well, elections that were going on midterms for the United States. I'm sure they could care less over there in the Ukraine and or the East relative to this, although it's of interest to them. But earlier in the day, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov announced the plans to bring up Ukraine's alleged efforts to stage a dirty bomb provocation up at the United Nations. On Sunday, Russia's defense minister informed his NATO counterparts on the threat of the Ukrainian dirty bomb false flag attack. Kiev and its sponsors have dismissed the allegations. Now, what's interesting to me since then, this report, which we talked about, everything seems to have gotten quiet, and the West has stopped denying. And some other things have come about that I think appears in the quiet that Russia developed enough evidence to show they knew UK was involved, and it was in the news. And so this becomes, again, an important point that we shouldn't disregard. Relative to somebody poking the bear, and somebody may make a mistake. And this becomes the, you know, in my mind, rationally, you wouldn't, if you're in contention with somebody, and these are super serious fighters, if you will, peer fighters, peer nation warriors, you don't want to continue to provoke. And I don't know, I mean, if I think about it, why would you provoke your neighbor, or even if it was your neighbor that you didn't like? Why do you provoke it? Doesn't seem to make sense on the ground level. But it certainly can't make sense at this level. They had presented, and I thought this was proper, that there was a direction made to contact all the people in the Western countries and say, here, we're not doing this, and you're setting it up, and here's the evidence that we believe we have. It doesn't matter that you deny it. This is what we believe, and this is the other thing you have to put in your mind. It's not what we think. It's what they think. And that's where the problem becomes. Not that it's a problem because they're wrong, but because, again, the mistake. Russian military has informed the contacts between Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky office and the British representatives on the matter of a nuclear weapons technology. And here's the other thing we're going to lead to. What about these nuclear weapons? How did Ukraine have them anyway to even be there was my, again, another question I've had. We do know they have nuclear power, so there could have been a source, but a dirty weapon requires a little bit stronger material. And so where are they getting this? Has to be also the material either from outside or they had it inside. And Russia is coming forward to say, to warn the UK of dangerous consequences because of what it's doing, which now we hear was actually going on. The UK wants to be moved in to the EU, the NATO provision for countries to allow it to get personnel into the front line. I don't know. I mean, this is just public notice to us. I'm sure it's been happening all the time. I don't know how many decades I've been reporting on SA-8 activity, showing you in the news. They tell you that their special ops are always moving into countries ahead of time under different types of covers and things like that. And they have opportunity to foment things and cause trouble. Now, I guess it's said that everything's a fair and level war. We're talking about ramifications that are going to envelop the whole entire world if it goes nuclear. So this becomes a big, would have thought a long time ago that we walked away from this problem, but we didn't. And that's another problem. We didn't. No, the United States continues to use it. Moscow has summoned the UK envoy and cautioned London against training Ukrainian forces. Russia is coming out without, they're not hiding, they're telling British government, and they've done it to the United States, you better be careful on getting yourself too close. In other words, we're back to Ukraine. It was supposed to be a neutral state. There's not supposed to be influence from it. Russia has summoned the British ambassador to Moscow. I want you to, I'm repeating this over and over. These are in these reports. Russia has going through their ambassadors, their diplomatic corps, which is supposed to be done under international provisions of working things out. You don't hear this happening with the United States. It's essentially close the door. In fact, I think I'll get to it. You're going to hear the policy is now that Russia can't be talked to. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been reading the news. There, Russia seems to have an open door about wanting to talk. I guess there's an argument where they can talk, but they're not even trying that. And on the other hand, when Russia does something, the United States will not agree. And then the West keeps poking the bear. So Russia summoned, again, the British ambassador, focused on Britain, focused on the UK to warn them off the best they can in words, in other words, steadfast protest that warned that London's hostile actions could lead to unpredictable and dangerous consequences. They went on to say, if acts of aggression that risk turning Britain into a direct party in the conflict continue, the British side will solely bear the responsibility for their negative consequences and the increase in tensions between our countries. I'm not so sure the Britain's listening, but the Russia's coming out through its diplomatic corps, as I would have thought we would have done, the West, if you will, to engage with this in order to keep a buffer of mistake away, at least a measure of a buffer away from what appears to be Russia proving enough, even circumstantially, to the British, they can show that UK's been involved in a deeper way and in things they ought not to be, relative to even their words. And all the same time, we then hear the United States coming in to conduct provocative Arctic missile tests aimed at Russia. And this was an important and serious one, because they're trying to launch a cruise missile from a C-130, the cruise missiles of which can't handle and hold nuclear weapons. Washington had earlier declared cooperation with Moscow to the region virtually impossible. Again, in contrast to the Russians saying, I'm using my diplomatic corps to resolve this, and we're showing you behind the scenes the proof. The United States has made the policy that it cannot speak to Russia. Well, that's also an intention. And this, for me, starts to up this stupidity level to the point of, where's the mistake? When does the mistake happen? Now, I understand, I have no knowledge of this at all, but I understand there's some safeguards here along the way. Even Russia in its doomsday capacity has safeguards. To a point. And we're closely to the point where those safeguards may be overcome. The United States military tested an experimental cruise missile launch system above the Arctic Circle on Wednesday. The commander in charge of the test called it a deliberately provocative move aimed at deterring Russia. And this, to me, goes right back to the West isn't listening, and on purpose, obviously. But what Russia is saying and doing and how they're conducting themselves. The operation involved dropping a long-range cruise missile from a special operations C-130 transport aircraft with parachutes, slowing its descent until its rocket motor blasted it toward a target. The deployment system, called Rapid Dragon by the military, was developed by the United States Air Force and Wednesday marked its first demonstration in Europe. Now, why they did it there on a first demonstration, an experiment, right near Russia, I don't understand. So how stupid are we actually? It's not just provocative. It's reckless. The ramifications of this are cause it to be reckless. The choice of Norway's Andøya space range for the launch was deliberate, located around 2 degrees north of the Arctic Circle. The range sits at the far west edge of the region of military and economic importance of Russia. So covertly, we see the military, but impliedly, if you will, they are hitting the economic and trying to threaten the economic life, survival of Russia. Well, I don't know, by now they haven't figured out that the boomerang effect's not working. And this shows you the other problem. That becomes desperation later when it doesn't work. And so I'll end there. They did it right, and Norway's involved. And we, again, this brings up the idea of Finland. Now they're backed off a little bit. It became becoming too hot that even those that were asking are now backing off a little bit. Why is probably because the United States is pushing it a lot too hard. Again, we just listen for that as well. And I'm talking about this today. It may not be important. It's over there, you think, but I don't think so, actually. This is a serious, serious thing. This is something, I don't know what to say how serious this is relative to how much of a counter effect this will have in the world. And part of it's driven, and I don't know where and how, again, just the pushing and probing and provocateuring is a problem, but what causes that actually, that when you listen to Russia, there's nothing that's going to cause them to stop, to protect themselves. And the more you do this, the more they're going to be more on the ready, actually. More on the trigger. And this is a time, technologically, that the West, if I understand it correctly, that the West cannot gamble. The West, Russia said it. London, you're out. You're done. Washington, you're done. And the technology I understand that they have can do it. And the United States has nothing that can compare to it and nothing even to defend against. And the military is coming out and talking and saying that, which I find that also fascinating. I'm hoping that's not the truth, but that means that that it's not the truth, we may see beyond a mistake. Why did New York start to tell people about how to protect yourself from nuclear radiation in the face of the United States giving up all of its civil defense bunkers? Long time ago. Massive anti-Russian bot army exposed by Australian research. With the multi-spectral system that the United States has set up, as we heard last week. Then this story came in, kind of raises the alarm a bit. And interestingly, Australia, of all places, which you'd think is inside this system of control, if you know Five Eyes, Oy Vey, they're involved with this. The Queen's properties are involved with the United States. And I keep bringing that up because of the economic commerce connection there at the start of this country may be part of why it's an economic attack. As the whole idea about the United States is to become a commerce powerhouse and control commerce around the world, economies. That was the Treaty of Peace. That's what that was about. An Australian university has unearthed millions of tweets by fake bot accounts pushing disinformation on the Ukraine war. Interestingly, Twitter, again, we understand that they're conditioned inside by people, or at least were by people that were conducive and reliant on the government influence. I'm not so sure that's ended under Elon Musk, although we're watching people losing their jobs. Understand that's also happening in an economic anticipation and a downturn and a big problem coming, which we might get to next week. That Elon Musk trimming the fat, if you will, if there's fat, is not the only one. And so we're looking at a whole different subject matter. But Twitter's been involved. Up until now, at least. In fact, didn't we hear that Biden said, well, they're going to investigate Elon Musk. They have their ways. What a violation of constitutional law there. They have ways to investigate Elon Musk if they weren't involved with Twitter, because they are doing those things. And they now are affected by the new ownership. But moving here, this is anti-Russian bot army that did what? Remember, we talked last week as well why I moved this stuff along, and I wish I could get to it all in a continuum in one broadcast, but I just can't. The cognitive control, the cognitive infrastructure control that the government is attempting to gain. One of the areas of full spectrum dominance is over your mind. A team of researchers University of Adelaide, I've found that as many as 80% of the tweets about the 2022 Russian-Ukraine invasion in its early weeks were part of a covert propaganda campaign originating from automated fake bot accounts. An anti-Russian propaganda campaign originated from a bot army, a fake automated Twitter account flooded the internet at the start of the war. Okay, repeat that over and over. The point is they found something. It wasn't proper. We know that the Pentagon is admitting they have a problem. They got caught, and they're going to figure out, like I was speaking last week, how they're going to not get caught next time. Not that they were going to stop it. But then it brings up a whole other constitutionality issue, which may be swept underneath the rug by the term national security, which I told you was going to be where the tyrant will reside in the necessity. That we're going to have to put our mind as the people how to shut that down, given we can't. If we're not that well done, and I think we might be, given that Lincoln proved it. We did not prevail. The South should rise again. The people should rise again, but they likely won't. And I'm hoping I'm wrong there, but I don't see it. And I didn't see it this week, and I haven't seen it since. And before the last 2 years on the other problem, I'm not seeing it. So excuse me if I don't sound too enthusiastic at this point, even though I guess hope springs eternal. We may come yet. to stop this nonsense. Under color here, under color of legitimate acts, they're doing just, I don't even know, evil. It's just evil. And it's putting everybody at risk. Everybody at risk. The whole globe is at risk. The moving this back to now a newer a report that proves more of what I've been saying, and exactly that the United States put sanctions because it was planned to go after Russia economically. We see now the U.S. strips Russia of market economy status. Part of me says, how is it? How do we don't recognize that the United States has a power in this world that it should not have on its own, that it unilaterally does this, tells you again and focuses us on what the Achilles heel of the globe is and why Russia went to make the so-called multipolar, the bipolar mental condition in the world. It's still good cop, bad cop, and it's still going down the path of the agenda to of technocracy, if you will, but it's creating an alternative economic structure. And countries are flocking to them, is the other problem. The U.S. strips Russia of the market economy status, the unilateral power of the world in the world of the United States. Russia's not having it. It is its own country. It's a very large country. I mean, terribly large country. And it doesn't have quite the people that the United States does, but it's resource rich, as we see. Why? Production of natural resources will prevail, likely prevail in any economic attack. And where the United States is holding its back or trying to use others, Russia doesn't have to worry about all that. And where there's an obstruction to market, like we see even in the grain, Russia's willing to fill the gap, but it's not going to do it underneath the prior agreements. It's going to do it on its own. It's already set up to do that. It can supply the world on what it needs, at least in part, whatever it can produce. And it's substantial. Their army of people would be all their farmers and their producers and their miners, actually, right now. And we see how powerful production is. What I complain about here in the United States, our producers, our miners, our timber people, our manufacturers are hobbled, terribly hobbled, attacked. In fact, our mining claim got attacked again, I mean, just here a couple weeks ago. This is supposed to be the United States government helping its producers? No, this is an attack on the established organic form of government. People are divorced of that. People don't understand what I maybe talk about. Fundamentally, on the ground, you have a free man on the land? Yeah. On the ground, the producers on the ground are getting attacked and sabotaged on top of it all. But Russia doesn't have that problem. And their people can produce. Whether they have all the technology, I don't know. They may not need it. They're making advanced technology well above what the United States can do. Do we need the United States? Do we need the Russian titanium? Look at that story. I didn't realize that the Russian government produces, or the Russian nation produces about 80-something percent of all the titanium, 90% of the titanium that's used in the world. And the United States needs it. How smart was this, that we're attacking them economically and we have need of things from Russia? Whether we can... I didn't go look to see whether the titanium deposits are available in the United States or not. If they are, you're also seeing the sabotage inside the government. If we don't, then we weren't too smart about our technology, what we need, seriously need, in the advanced technology sector that Russia has available to it, that we're cutting off these lines. No, we're not going to open those lines. No, we're going to open the lines of military going in to threaten them. So the real war, the direct attack, not the faux proxy war that the celebritudes will talk about, and repeat, that's the other thing. You tell them don't. You've just proven that it's not a proxy war. You've proven it's an economic, direct economic war against, from the United States to Russia. And then they repeat over and over that it's a proxy war. It shows you the mental instability in people or their position. They're one of the agents. I can't believe someone who's shown the truth, and this is what I'm kind of disappointed in generally, in lots of what I see in the response of people generally. Lots of people will go in the wrong, will look at the wrong point to defend themselves. And it's a point that's already conceded they don't have any power or authority. It doesn't sit with the presumption of innocence. It doesn't sit in the presumption of right or the presumption of the fact that you can't be imposed where consent is required, actual consent. It doesn't sit there. It doesn't rely on the black and white, as I call it, the objective basis by which those that would trespass you and cause tyranny against you are utilized, are abandoning, have abandoned, and you haven't caused the check for. The world is starting to move now with Russia's initiation to move to this secondary economy. And so what does the United States do? Strips itself as a market economy status, which is what? Something Russia's already abandoning. If you don't see how behind the scenes that the United States actually is, and that they then set themselves up, maybe for a reason, that they are then backed into a corner. And this back the nuclear option. You keep poking the bear, you keep trying to keep it down, but economically, it doesn't care what you think. It doesn't have to worry about it. It's not like they're not affected, but they aren't affected in a regard. In fact, looking at the prices in Russia, the Russians are paying, if I just got this news here recently, just a couple days ago, correct? They're only paying, what, $2.66 a gallon for their fuel, and it's the premium level fuel. They only pay $1.33, if I read this right, for their propane. Now, I don't know what you're paying in the United States, but it ain't that low. I guarantee that. And why that? We're supposed to be able to produce. Propane's a byproduct. Why aren't we producing enough to keep that price down? Is this a policy consideration, a threat by the regimes that come to power? And I don't see, again, the politics here is irrelevant. It doesn't matter who gets into the office. I don't care what the promotion is. They keep you just enough encouraged that there's a little bit of hope, but nothing ever really changes relative to the incremental destruction. So the U.S. strips Russia of market economy. That's what it's about. That's the attack. And this problem here is boomeranging back. We're the ones that's seeing it a problem in the people in these respective countries in the so-called West, actually NATO, when you look at it that way. And we're the ones that are going to feel it, and that then brings up the reason why, well, they won't use it as the reason to go to war, but it makes it more justifiable in an absurd way that we would be going to war. Our economies are tanking. We need people to go fight and spend and expend and do all this other than die and all that stuff that's going to go on. And isn't dying going to help the agenda anyway? So we heard the UK getting back into the project to get their personnel into Ukraine more efficiently. And we hear this corollary, why Biden is sending U.S. weapons experts to Ukraine. When I heard this, I could not even believe I was reading the words. The Pentagon announced this week that it's sending weapons experts into Ukraine to inspect American-supplied arms being used against Russia. Now, when you read this story, I'll read the next one. The group will be among the first U.S. military members, first U.S. military members in the country, apart from these providing security at the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv. President Biden had pledged the U.S. troops will not be sent in to fight, but this week's announcement comes amid rising concerns. No doubt. Let me go back with the weapons experts. Going in, and if you look at the stories, how they're written, they are supposed to be checking what's going into Ukraine. And my thought on that was they could do that from the border and not go into Ukraine. And if they can't trust the Ukrainians, Zelensky, to use them properly, they shouldn't be giving them those weapons at all. And partly because they shouldn't really have that close a relationship because Ukraine was diminished so that it could be created. It was not really sovereign. It had to fulfill other obligations, foreign obligations between Russia and the West, if you will, NATO. Don't ever forget that. These monies are not going to a sovereign nation. They don't have a democracy in the same sense. This country was not supposed to be what it is now. But the United States sending weapons experts in so-called, this is on quotes, among other U.S. military in the state is, again, what Russia is warning everybody to stop doing. And it doesn't bode well, I don't think. Where this all goes, maybe it's a lost thought, I don't know. Maybe it won't affect it. Maybe it doesn't go nuclear. But we're on that road of mistake, I guess is the point here. And for no good reason. And for, again, the incremental, if you're watching the incremental encroachment on Russia like the United States government has done to the people of the United States, I'm hearing crickets. I hear literally crickets. They're utilizing the Second Amendment or the right of the people to alter the abolish the clause of the right of the people to alter the abolish the government as they see fit against the people. That people can't see that, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, actually, because partly because I see a bunch of people running all over the place with their chickens with their head cut off. What the answer is going to be, I don't really know. It's certainly not what I've been watching. But where people cannot come together and fortify against a very clear, like the Covey swindle was just a big deal to me. So clearly provable. And we couldn't do that as a people is really a sad observation, at least for me. I expected maybe a little bit more. But so let's move on to the obtuse, the abstract, the inconsistent, the oxymoron. Weapons experts going into Ukraine, not a good sign. U.S. votes against anti-Nazi resolution at UN with a plausible reason. Oh, they have free speech rights too. But we understand if we look at Ukraine and what the United States is supporting in Nazi, I have to ask why'd they go kill Hitler? Now, what about Zyolinsky? What is this nonsense we're looking at around shows you that Ukraine is a sideshow to give credit to the celebritude that seems to keep believing that the U.S. is in a proxy war through Ukraine. And you can find out who that is by who I talk to on my Twitter feed periodically. The United States says it was one of three countries to vote against the U.N. resolution condemning the glorification of Nazism over freedom of speech issues and concerns that Russia was using it to carry out political attacks against its neighbor. The resolution entitled Combating Glorification of Nazism, Neo-Nazism, and Other Practices that Contribute to Fueling Contemporary Forms of Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerance was approved by the UN's committee Friday with 133-1 in favor and 3 against with 48 abstentions. Ukraine and Palau were the other no votes. We condemn without reservation all forms of religious and ethnic intolerance or hatred at home and around the world, said Deputy U.S. Representative to the Economic and Social Council, Stephanie Amendio, explaining the U.S. vote. Well, if I look at Nazism and Hitler, I don't look at religion and ethnic necessarily. So what's the economic and social representative talking for, folks? The economic. I mean, it's an attack. They're not going to go with it, but we support. We went after, supposedly, again, this is bringing up the question of World War II. We went after Hitler to stop Nazis. And yet now, to stop them also exterminating Jews, which weren't the only people that got taken down. The Russian government of which lost so many more people in defending against that cause. You can see the inherent problem for Russia in all this. That today, United States supports Nazism as a form of free speech, and Zyolinsky in Ukraine as an excuse under the explanation that Nazism is religious and ethnic. If you don't understand the green religion sitting back in here being religion, economic destruction and putting you in debt servitude, by technocratic oversight, overlord. I don't know what else to read into that. However, this is the seemingly odd things that the United States will come up with. And in some regard, if you want to believe in Nazism, maybe a free speech issue. But when you look at this greater context of what the United States is doing through its supposed diplomatic obligations, if you will, opportunities, I guess I should say, it has no sense at all. It makes zero sense. And then when it stops making sense, folks, as I told you, you got to look for another issue, another thing. Where the whole world, it's not that you can have a contrary opinion, where the whole world does not believe that Nazism is ethics or economics, or whatever the United States is talking about, we have a problem. Then it's setting up a condition. Again, this condition gets too abstract, and then what I guess is the other implied reason people agree in the United States that what we saw Russia and Putin had to do with his people is what every government has to do, keep the people on their side, keep them ratcheted up in their cognitive infrastructure controlled to bring the outcome the government wants. We heard that in those documents last week that I talked about. You can read them, and if you get the links, you can read all this stuff sitting right there. We're going to get back a little bit to that here in a bit, showing you this is not just a spurious issue, that this is really one of the weapons of the system, weapon systems that they are interested in. Again, keeping tabs of what their people do, what your people do in a country is important. And if you're an occupier, like it seems also, as I can identify for myself anyway, maybe anybody else understands this, for me, we're an occupied people, the occupier under international law must not allow the natives to get restless, because they know, history says, when the natives get restless, they will kill you. They will take you out, and they will kill you. And so don't do that. When the United States people don't have that sense, but that's okay. I've been trying to at least throw it out there and see if maybe people will recognize what's going on here. As we see this pressure come in, pressure, and we see the economic restrictions coming and they all don't work, Russia's figured it out. I was kind of feeling pretty good for Russia in a way, if I just sit back and not put myself in any of this. Russia figured it out. They told us they were figuring out. China was on board. They started to collect gold. They started to rely on inside of their own production capacity. And as I told you, watch them. They will show you how we have to do it. How we're going to actually do it where we're not in this obvious war kind of condition that needs to be set, that would be set up. I'm not quite sure. But that's going to take a coherent mutual understanding by the people in the United States to get back to our roots and our production roots, our value roots, our real cultural roots, not allow cultural culture to work beyond our opinions about it all. When there's just certain things, there's nothing, no argument. You don't have fresh water, you're dying. You're not going to have food, you're dead. You can't defend yourself, you're dead. It's pretty simple. And they've got it to the point where these are all being conditioned or gone, and we're at the mercy of whatever is developed for us. It's not a free people. No, I don't care what your opinion about all that is, and I don't care how you come at it. You're not a free people. In a stunning strategic reversal, we'll get back to it here again, Pentagon will no longer rule out the use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear threat. I've reported on this a couple weeks ago because I wanted people to know at the time when it was hot that things were coming down, that the United States position is no longer one of a restraint, no longer one of diplomacy. They've just agreed that you can't talk with Russia. I don't see that, but that's what these people who have apparent power to blind themselves to are saying, and that's the ones that I'm saying we have to be concerned with. Moments ago, a part of his closely watched speech, Vladimir Putin appeared to talk down the likelihood of nuclear attack in Ukraine after Pentagon came out and said that this was on the table as a first strike condition for a non-nuclear condition. Well, what do you think Ukraine becomes? Pentagon's new national defense strategy rejects limits on using nuclear weapons long championed by arms and control advocates, parenthetically and in the not-too-distant future, by Joe Biden, citing burgeoning threats from Russia and China. And this becomes the other thing in the world. By the 2030s, okay, you follow these dates, don't disregard that they're consistent. The coincidence means something in my mind, and everyone wants to say the coincidence doesn't mean anything. No, they mean something. They mean something. No, that's just a coincidence. No, that's right. That is a coincidence. You better look at it, especially when it's at this level. By the 2030s, the United States will, for the first time in its history, face two major nuclear powers as strategic competitors and a potential adversary, the Defense Department said on a long-awaited document issued Thursday. Well, that's the one I talked about here behind the woodshed weeks ago, and became a raising of an alarm, to my sense, for us as a people, American people. In representing you, they're going to go ahead and change this, and they're calling Russia and China a threat. Well, they might be, but as I've said before, are they because you keep poking the bear? Are they because you economically attack them? Are they because you have an idea that you want to have total situational dominance? And they're saying, no, I don't think so. Is that why you're having to do this? That's being a bully in the world. And the reason why we just haven't gone into Ukraine and stop it is because we can't. Russia is not to be disregarded. Whether China actually is a threat, I don't know so much, but they're coming up with their own technology, and they're coming fast. I understand now they do have a hypersonic missile that can't be defeated by the United States. Whether the military United States is able to dominate still, I think it might. Russia's not afraid of it. They're not backing down because we got the United States has the biggest amount of guns pointing at it, dropping a cruise missile in the airspace of another country that could have been tipped with a nuclear weapon. No, all that does is foment more strife. And then the report comes out, Pentagon's going to go ahead and we might use it as a first strike on non-nuclear threats. Pentagon vows to nuke Russia if they don't stop the war against Ukraine was a story. I have to take this with a great grain of salt, but it did state a thought. Pentagon vows to nuke Russia if they don't stop the war against Ukraine. If Russia believes that, we have just ticked this thing way up in the red zone relative to the use of nuclear weapons. I don't think Russia is going to use first strike. If they have to do response, though, it may be raised up to their doomsday machine. Are you thinking about this, folks? These people in power are pushing this right to the brink, literally the brink. Brinksmanship? This is the worst I've ever seen, and the most asinine, actually, I've ever seen. If we're supposed to be a world that we're supposed to work our differences out, even though we have differences. Typically, our issues were to go to a court. Yeah, everyone laughs. That's right, we would laugh, and we would have to laugh, because there is no court, is it? And so this is the saber-rattling that ends up having to do as a surrogate, where what we're looking at is political attacks against other nations, because war is a surrogate for politics. Why I tell you the green religion is making a war against the people, it's politics. And climate change is a political economic hit. It's a change, a transformation in what you thought your world was about. Pentagon vows to nuke Russia if they don't stop the war. I could not find this actual as a proof, but that title, if Russia believes that, brings this threat to them and how they might respond way, 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 way up. Heads of the U.S. nuclear forces claim Ukraine just a warm-up for a very long struggle with Russia and China. So here we have. It's the Ukraine's a sideshow for something a lot bigger. Just read the news and have maybe eyes to see a bit. I hope I have that for you if you didn't see this stuff and put it together. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying the response from people after seeing these pieces of information doesn't seem to coalesce into these ideas. It doesn't have the people scurrying together to figure out, okay, there's some serious, serious problems going on. Where do we even begin at this? And then, in my view, when I see people talk, are you talking on the wrong point? We got a couple steps yet as a population. And all of this failure is what those in power feed on in order to continue these machinations, if nothing else. Now, on one hand, if they don't mean anything, they don't mean anything. On the other hand, your life is going down the tubes because of all this stuff that has no meaning, just like what I saw, the Kobe swindle. Since 2018, the U.S. has been seen its primary strategic focus on preparing the so-called great power competition with Russia and China. Again, this is a premeditated condition set up by the United States. The great power competition. With Russia and China, and then you saw the world after the actions by the United States actually coalesced Russia and China. And I have to look at that and say, well, what else would they have done when the United States is talking the way it is and not agreeing to talk with anybody and determining, as Russia first quickly questioned, what are the rules, the international rules that's being imposed? Russia found out, well, it's the United States, our way or the highway, and that wasn't going to fly. U.S. Navy Admiral Charles Richard, the head of the United States Strategic Command, recently warned the U.S. would soon face a protracted conflict with China unlike anything it's faced before. STRATCOM is responsible for handling the country's nuclear weapons, as well as the suite of defensive and offensive information capabilities termed C4ISL. We have to do some rapid fundamental change in the way we approach the defense of this nation. So here we have the secret word pops out, national defense, and that apparently obliterates anything else like diplomatic channels. Don't poke the bear. Stop your economic boomerangs. It doesn't mean all that, apparently. You don't think destabilizing you at home is not a national security threat? I don't know where people's thoughts are. And that's exactly what this government's doing right now. The Ukraine crisis that we're in right now, we're not supposed to be in this, you understand. Ukraine's supposed to be inert to this United States. They've been saying this all along, but not really, as they find that they use the sideshow as a fomenter to get at what they want, more war. And this is the nuclear dude talking. The Ukraine crisis that we're in right now, this is just a warm-up. That's the big one is coming, and it isn't going to be very long before we're going to be tested in ways that we haven't been tested in a long time. Yeah, keep poking the bear. Self-inflicted wound, folks. This nuclear thing, Russia's saying it. No one wins in the nuclear thing, and that's the whole point. So why do you push it? Why are these people in the top end of the news here? Becomes a very big concern to me. You all better understand that it's not going to happen. If we go back to the history, we're talking about a little bit of history, you find out a lot of these wars, all these wars are setups. The conflicts are setups. And they have certain outcomes. Again, outcomes, we're going to get to outcomes here soon. You'll see outcomes that someone has decided for you that these outcomes should exist. And now it's for you that they're going to, not just for them, for the so-called nation, for you individually. Why? Because they can track each one of them. The big one is coming. Why? Maybe because you poked the bear? Because you think you can't, there's no one can talk to you? Because you demand that it's your way or the highway? Maybe that's a self-inflicted mental defect that's going to cause a problem. Lots of you folks are going to have your sons and daughters go die for this kind of mentality. I guess that's the thing that gets me. Richard warned, the ship is slowly sinking because China is fielding new capabilities faster than the United States, which will soon find itself outnumbered and outclassed on the battlefield. Well, that's just a war appropriations discussion for fearmongers. Well, why don't you go talk to Clinton that gave these secrets for our nuclear submarines to them and some other things, the aircraft? Why don't you go talk to the President of the United States for helping the enemy? Again, I don't know what to say. We watch this stuff as a nation. I suppose it's natural. I suppose we're going through a cycle. I guess I suppose also that we were better than that as a people. We came and the melting pot was more than the plan of destruction that it seems to have been. The melting pot was not our friend, actually. Not that we should have been segregated, but that concept has another connotation. It was a way to defeat a nation of people in the future. as you watch him break it all apart. I mean, this is the whole part of the racism that comes on by the, under the color of stopping racism is fascinating here. The fact of protecting Nazism as free speech and an F as a religion, I don't know. It's really kind of nonsensical, but that's what we do. Why do we kill Hitler? Why do we take out the Germans if we're going to, if Nazism was simply a free speech thing? Why'd the Russians take out the Nazis? If they're still here, that was their whole point of being in the Ukraine from Russia. Ending what they thought they'd stopped at the expense of 26 million men and women. Where's their investment? Where there's blood and treasure? Don't disregard Russia, I guess, back to that. Then we go up to the TASS, a Russian agency. Oh, yeah, you can dismiss it, but this is what, again, what do they think? What's they seeing? How are they reporting? Russia strictly adheres to the principle of inadmissibility of nuclear war. They're coming right out and saying, we do not want nuclear war. Despite and notwithstanding what the West is saying, Russia is doing. And if you listen carefully, Russia's not doing any of the clear rattling that they are intending to. They're talking about it being not off the table if Russia gets attacked. According to the statement, Russia calls on other members of the Nuclear Five to show readiness to work to achieve this priority goal and abandon dangerous attempts to infringe on each other's vital interests, teetering on the brink of a direct armed conflict and encouraging provocations involving weapons of mass destruction, which could lead to catastrophic consequences. And they didn't use nuclear there. They're talking about biological as well, I'm sure, and all the other forms of mass destruction that might befall nations who decided this is our opportunity to take out the one, the goose that's laying the golden egg that we can't get. Moscow strictly adheres to the principles of inadmissibility of nuclear war in terms of its nuclear deterrence policy, according to the statement of the prevention of nuclear war. They're not saying this because they don't think it's not happening. And on this page, and I don't know how the stories are going to roll out for you when you get to the link, you're going to see some, you roll through this, it's in quite a few stories in a row, not just the one I'm reading on, and you we'll see it, a story being told of what Russia is doing, what Russia is doing in the EU. That there's, again, like this Russia-EU contacts are not officially severed. We're that close to closing the door to communication. And when you close the door to communication, Russia knows the odds of coming out of that are not probably too good. You also notice President Lukashenko rules out nuclear weapons in Belarus. They were talking about it. I think they're starting to see they don't want to provoke any more this idea about nuclear weapons, but that they are going to come straight out and say, this is not the way we need to go. Why? Because the West is actually focusing on that as a, even as a threat. And this is one of those weapons you don't do that with. When the Russians came out and said it makes no sense and there nobody wins this war, and that's the truth, then it makes no sense to keep on for any side to push this. They ask again that everyone come together. For as futile as that might be, ultimately it still shows at least a willingness to stand there and have to look at each other and discuss things before you go thinking other things. The United States doesn't want to do that. Russia's asking for it. That's why I appreciate, even if it's a scam, it's an international scam that all countries can do, that you ask for diplomacy first. They're at least on the record to show that. The United States is being a thug to not, I think. And I don't know what you think about that, but there it is. What do we do now? Well, how do we start to come together? It ain't going to be by a vote. And it ain't going to be by being divided. And either people start seeing that this threat that's being done to the every, it doesn't matter your political persuasion, the threat of the consequence of nuclear war, even if you're not in a drop zone around for the world, then your hemisphere is catastrophic. Do we know what catastrophic is? Well, if I put a conflagration of wildfire catastrophic, a catastrophic wildfire, it burns up the top of a mountain in 2 hours, 3,000 acres, evaporate, turn into vapor. Is that the kind of life you want to live? And then downstream of that smoke stream, blocking off the sun for however many years it would be on a nuclear capacity, particles dripping through, dropping everywhere here and there? Is that the kind of world you want to be on brinksmanship with? Now, I understand that supposedly a shift control, a moderate shift control in the government of the United States, and money's not going to Ukraine. It's a sideshow. So remember that. Stop. It sounds like Q to me, all these promotions. Stop deluding ourselves that this is going to stop anything. I've never seen a Democratic control or a Republican control put us into the place that we're protected, ever. Ever. No, we're incrementally here. When did Ukraine give up nuclear weapons, and why have fears of Kiev's pursuit of nukes reemerged through Sputnik from the Russian side, explaining how Ukraine even has these? They happen to be Soviet devices. That's why now we know that Ukraine could put together a dirty weapon. What happens ultimately, you read the story, but what happened is that the old weapons that were left there in the chaos of all this nonsense that goes on in that area anyway, fomented some more, was that the weapons that were made could not be, the coating could not be broken in order to make them functional. So the material sits there. And that's what they were going to dismantle, apparently, to make their dirty bomb, which has to be more concentrated than just a bit of expended nuclear fuel. But there's a story here behind why there's nukes in Ukraine, or supposedly, what the threat might be, that it is within the capacity, the means is within the capacity of the Ukraine government, and again, explaining from the Russian side why they're concerned. And I think we need to understand that. And then for my mind is, okay, why aren't, again, where's the candor from the West? They know this is all what's going on. What is the weapons experts going in to look at, actually? You think it's just the United States? No, it was for aiding them to fight the Russians. I would think that it requires some review of what nuclear things were available. All is fair in love and war, right? Right? So while Russia comes out to explain how Ukraine does have these materials and can rely on them, and that the potential is actually there, and they understand all this, it was their stuff, that Russia comes out and says, listen, this is not something we want to do. Nobody wins. Let's de-escalate. Let's denuclearize. And again, I have no problem with nuclear power. Why not? But when you get to a point when you see nuclear weapons are a no-win situation, they really shouldn't be on the table. The United States keep pushing it. It creates a very serious condition. And it's not like it's unknown of this condition that we need to be keeping track, but in regards of Russia saying this is a no-win, we got to keep ours because you're keeping yours and we're not even in discussion now. You're threatening us with cruise missiles that can actually reach us with nuclear weapons. You keep coming in and destroying our infrastructure. You're coming after us economically, which means you really want to go for the throat and take us down and dismember us. And we're a people that aren't going to let that happen. The nuclear weapons are not what we should be doing, and they should be controlled. Is reflected again in the world, no different than we saw before, about the Nazism. The United States says Nazism is a religion or an ethnic group, I suppose. Still don't get why we went after Hitler then. Why wasn't Russia condemned for their cleansing of the religion of Nazism or their ethnics of Nazism when 26 million of their men died helping the West? Is also an unanswered question. But this nuclear question and issue is interesting. It's developing. Finally, we see the importance that we need to keep track because there's rogue elements that want to do certain things like, oh, let's go into Ukraine and get all the Soviet missile heads that we aren't able to break the code on to use them. We can dismantle them. We can take their stuff out. We can use their stuffings elsewhere. Israel must get rid of its nuclear weapons, UNGA majority decides. Now, I kind of shrug my shoulders. Who cares? You see, the UN is useless. But we get to see a voice. We get to see this free speech of people saying in the country, representatives of countries, that Israel has to do this thing that every other nuclear power does, even though it says in the tag, Israel never admitted to possess nuclear weapons, But nevertheless, the UNGA resolution was aimed at Israel, not Iran. Okay, so we know I'm coming from a Zionistic paper. They're never admitted, but we don't have to admit. We have the circumstantial evidence, and we know, and the United States knows, and Britain knows, and everybody knows, and so it's an open secret. And maybe if Iran is the only problem, well, you know, the United States ended an agreement that it had with Iran, which actually put it under the control. So this is a spacious argument that Israel doesn't like being pointed out, and Israel doesn't like to admit. It sounds like a lawyer. Deny, 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 deny. And because I denied, you can't prove it. We have presumption of innocence. This is one of those things that presumption of innocence doesn't work. Israel must dispose of all its nuclear weapons and place its nuclear sites under the International Atomic Energy Agency purview, the United Nations General Assembly First Committee stated in its initial 152-5 vote. The five nations that opposed Friday's resolution on the risk of nuclear proliferation in the Middle East were Canada, Israel, Micronesia, Palau, and the United States. Another 24 countries abstained, including the European Union members. You'd think we'd want to know where those nuclear weapons are. I was just glad to see that Israel's been put on notice that it's maybe not going to skirt this quite so well. The effectiveness of the UN, it doesn't bring me to much hope. But the question, the getting it in the public, I thought, was probably the most important part of that story, notwithstanding the denial. Iran was already identified to have it. They already were in agreement about that, but the United States doesn't want to go there. And again, the lack of dialogue and the lack of agreement, Iran says, we still have to protect ourselves. And so they've been moving on like any other nation would because of the bullying that goes on in the nation. And it's our way or the highway mentality that goes on. And then the economic destruction that Iran already knows so well. And they're still there. Like the United States didn't learn from that. And then they go after Russia, even more powerful ability to resist. That didn't work, and they still go after the nuclear option now because, what, they have nothing else. The children have nothing else. Israel's now being talked out despite the denial or the lack of agreement that they have nuclear weapons. But Australia, interestingly, is coming back a little bit here in its new government, I suppose, with the way that works. Australia reverses recognition of Jerusalem as Israeli capital. And so this nuclear pipsqueak that actually has influence in Ukraine, who is, again, the interest of the Zionist, the Jewish influence to support a Nazism condition, is absurd. Shows you it's not making sense. We need to look closer. And hopefully we'll come onto some better truth here. But Australia is not going to go with what happened relative to the move to Jerusalem that Trump so readily embraced. Totally disregarding the will of all the people there and what ought to go on and who ought not have a unilateral say on all that. And it's a genocide, apartheid of another group of people who had the land. If you don't understand about what I keep telling you about that mirror, reflective mirror in the Middle East, you man on the land, you think you're free? No, the land was taken. And you didn't defend yourself with that base and establishment. Incrementally, they got you. They got you mentally, more important. That cognitive infrastructure that we're finding out the military's been involved in engaging all this time, yeah, they've got you that way. They've been doing it a long time. Foreign Minister Penny Wong said that the city's status should be decided through peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians and not through unilateral decision. That's right, a foreigner. And so they remove, again, the Zion terrorist sitting there who comes under the color of a nation who hasn't got its basic rights done more than just by the fact of its military, which the United States foments, like it does in Ukraine, is now observed to not really have the largesse of the governments that they should have, and the people locally should have been handling this the whole time, which is being denied. Now, Australia is part of, what's interesting, this five, what they call Five Eyes nations. Interestingly, too, it's actually going from the Oy Vey, in Israel, to the FVEY, of the Five Eyes intelligence agency. It's a part of that organization, which is Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and United Kingdom, and the United States. So it's got the Queen's properties, I've been saying, with the United States coming together in an intelligence organization. It's been since the 40s. And then the Cold War and all this other stuff. So I find it interesting that the Oive country is being outed for it not being able to enjoy the type of recognition that it has at this point. And the real power should be between if there is this power between the parties, which I still would have a question on, but not the Oive state should not have power. And this is being challenged by an Efe state. And I think that dynamic is interesting relative to what we also see around. And also, don't underestimate when I say Five Eyes, what those Five Eyes do in the cyberspace. And so we have Five Eyes. If we only have Five Eyes, we can maybe agree or not to agree to elect Jerusalem to be a capital. But if we have AI eyes can check and predict heart disease risk in less than a minute. Moving a little bit over. A little break, I suppose. As we see, the breakthrough opens door to the highly effective non-invasive test that does not need to be done in a clinic. An artificial intelligence tool that scans eyes can accurately predict a person's risk of heart disease in less than a minute, researchers say. I find this interesting. Iridology, that's been condemned since I started to learn about it way long ago, and I thought it was very neat. Never really got too deep into it, but there's a very interesting thing. If they're doing iridology, you're looking at the wacky medicine that the medical profession doesn't seem to want to agree with, being able to diagnose symptoms. And apparently this one can do heart disease. And here's the thing I have about that. As I've told you, the dual use, the weaponry that's used in dual use, it's a cyber weapon used by the military in this regard. They give you something that you'd want to know. This is a very, very interesting tool, very cool thing to have happen. However, I can probably predict they get this into the field, and let's say it works, and this is part of how this works as well. That what they're doing is actually getting you to get that app so that they can track you somewhere. They take your picture of your eye. They can tell you, they can say a lot about your health. When this goes into Five Eyes networks, they get you into what their databases are, technocracy starts to run upon you. They get you to do this test, which I think is valuable, but they use it for their needs, the technocratic need. And so, though I would wholly agree with this, if you can't get this app for private purposes and can prove that it's not going to send your information out and it'll still do an analysis, if you can't prove that, I wouldn't use this app for as much as important as it would be. Partly because of what I see is being, this digital world is being used against us. And so, here we are, the dual use. It's good for us. It would be cool to know. Actually, there's a lot more they can tell us, I think, eventually, through this technology, this technique. But understand it's usually tied to a connection to the military, a connection to technocracy, to what's going to be what you need in the future, your health needs, what they can dictate to you. Back from Five Eyes, if you've got all eyes, AI eyes, and you get a little bit of help here, yeah, the robots can help us, but you're not in control of it. So I caution us to not jump on to the next great thing, because I don't think that it is. And looking through these phones and all this agreement, I can see how society is being torn down. People do not read the policies that are attached and the extenuating cover that's gone to allow this, this cancer within this technocratic realm, this cyber realm, this computer realm. It's just a fascinating, fascinating view, but it's terrifying at the next level to see that people have bought into it already. I don't know what we do about that. I'm not able to move through that at this point while I'm trying to figure out even respectable companies are selling you under the table. And they, when you read their stuff on the front, the surface looks really like they're being transparent, but they're not. When you read deeper, they're really not being transparent. They're not talking about the most important things. Here, this AI can look at your eye iridologically, is that a word? iridologically and show, hey, you got a heart problem. You don't realize behind that is a company that's going to send that image to, let's say, an insurance company through whatever ways they've gotten all that digital data pulled together to find out who you are, what you do, even if you've never given your name. Through this cross-domain inspection of your life at warp speed. And we got, if I get there, we got a chip coming. Wow, it blows me away. It's always amazing. The technology is so cool. But what they use it for. U.S. court mass surveillance program exposed by Snowden is illegal. It took them all these years to figure this out. Snow job Snowden. I don't know what part he played. But I think this was a they were telling us something here. And that allowed all that backdoor, the malware to show up that the government could then use. And you couldn't pin it on the United States if they had to have been found out to be the only one with that. Now it's out in the wild. Anybody can use it. The United States and any Five Eyes or any other 90 Eyes, whatever it is, can use that and you could never find them. You could never prove now how they're doing this. But 7 years after the National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden blew the whistle on the mass surveillance of Americans' telephone records, an appeals court has found that the program was unlawful and that the United States intelligence leaders who publicly defended it were not telling the truth. Okay, this is my other problem with this. It took 7 years to get this identified. This should have been identified coming out of the gate. This is where my problem with this country is. The government, the courts have allowed the government to be presumed to be doing right. For the people, we're going to have to come to some mutual understanding that that's no longer the case and outlaw the presumptive that the sovereign is always right, that everything it does must now go through scrutiny. That's what I noticed in our lawsuit, right before our lawsuit. All these laws are going through, and I'm saying, but these are violations of law. We ended up proving it when there was no answer or default, that what they were using to destroy our production was a violation of law. It was a treason. Those laws were allowed to go into effect. They should have never hit the books. Is our problem that allows this. This is not justice. This is not protection of the right of the people to be sovereign amongst themselves when we give the NSA the opportunity to do this behind the scenes and take 7 years to find out they're telling lies. They're unlawful. This is a big deal. And credit to Snowden for that part. But I told you there was a lot of bad things inside that he was allowing through him to expose, which gave the United States government the ability, and every other government, the ability to go ahead and do worse to us that we may never find. So it comes down 7 years later, interesting time as that too, 7 years after this imposition. When do you think that started? I told you 9/11, right? All this stuff. You were deemed to be an enemy combatant and susceptible to this. Your innocence was stripped from you because of all this, without probable cause. And again, through Snowden's tweet, he referenced to another tweet of Glenn Greenwald about we're told to go back to a video, which is gaining reviews again. A CIA officer, Frank Snepp, discusses feeding disinformation to journalists. Again, not really a new story. Well, confirmation that's already been in the news. It's already been on in our awareness since the 70s. But this is a thing going on. On the other side of it, not do they just collect the information. They give it, and people readily pick it up. And how that works. Frank Snepp arrived in Vietnam in 1969 and stayed on until he was evacuated from Saigon and fell in 1975. He spent a good deal of time working with the press while there and developed the ability to plant stories in major media outlets like the New York Times, the New Yorker, the LA Times, the Chicago Daily News, and others that supported the agency's goals, or that he could get to support. There's a couple people that didn't. The point is that this has been a long-term psyop to get your, again, to control your cognitive infrastructure. I want to bring this back from last week when I started to bring this into. These start to talk a lot to that, and you listen to these. It's a 60-minute thing. I give you to a link. I'm not promoting YouTube, though. You have to look to go to YouTube. I couldn't find another place quickly enough. You can choose to go to YouTube and support them or not. As I told you, I'm trying to shut down. But you can read the story of why I have this link about what this guy was telling people. I looked at the guy on the video, and I'm not so sure that's not all partly a PSYOP too, but the guy got sued by the government. And what I started to hear about that, it was almost seemingly like a suit, a setup for the takedown for the judiciary to advance that the government is right all the time. When it says national security, it wins. Essentially done. You're not going to get past it. Kind of these types of things I told you when I noticed we have a serious problem with this necessities clause of national security. It's partly why in the mining law, I went and found that minerals extraction and development is a national security concern. I was led by that to understand the Constitution recognizes minerals and timber to be a public use. And then water for mining is a public necessity and a public benefit. So we have three in water use for minerals. Raises the standard of production way, 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 way high to the point of saying, well, this has got a bigger, another term for that. That's national security. Sure enough, I was able to go locate the federal code that recognizes this production underneath a national security concern. Why I use that to say you can't attack it. This goes more back to the admiralty. You can't attack someone who is aiding the king to prosecute the wars within the country. So we're a neutral at best. If that's all we are at least that, and we're also aiding the national security benefit to the government, if that's where we want to go. Well, that becomes where we go in the as a nation, and I said you have to defeat that somehow, or at least be neutralized, neutral to it, so that you can't be attacked. This is also interfered with by people, again, the capturing of your cognitive infrastructure to bring you into some mind, either whether you agree or disagree, they bring you into an action more than importantly. And this is where I see the rubber meets the road is an important part. Your deeds are very important here. Your deeds to not counter are just as telltale as the deeds not being told when you watch some military that looks like military organization pop up that says they're the police or they're the sheriff's organization. Go look at their structure. Indeed, they're a military operation. Indeed, they receive federal funding. Indeed, they're in a country that got occupied by, someone who wanted to make a more perfect union. Now they're making an even more perfect union in the Great Transformation and Reset. NSA whistleblower unearthed project that targeted U.S. communications. So here we have the report now that stuff that Snowden, at least a part of it exposed, was illegal. And the officials lied. They shouldn't deserve the right of telling the truth without test. They shouldn't now be able to hide underneath national security. The CIA officer says, no, that's exactly what goes on, and we can program that into the system, which I found valid to give to you to go watch, care of Glenn Greenwald and Snowden himself, notwithstanding my hesitation on what actually happened all there. And he's still in Russia, I suppose, and I think he's gained Russian citizenship to tell you how the path of the United States is and, in a way, how its policies really don't work to support a unified people in truth and in law. They work under the law, under the color that they're doing the right and under the protection of the courts while they're doing wrong. And it's almost impossible. To hear this is really kind of a miracle. To find this out after time is almost a miracle, but it did also happen, and nobody can win this battle where our rights were and are defeated up front that never should have been. This is, again, my insight relative to the miner. The miner can't be attacked and ever win. But there's no view that you can sit in a right, especially this grant right, granted to you by the supposed organization of the government for our mutual benefit, for aiding us, as we thought was established, and then be attacked by those same agents of the government. You can't win, because it's never supposed to happen. But we hear the National Security Advisor whistleblower unearthed the hotshot analysis unauthorized project that targeted the communications of citizens and persons of the United States, according to a top secret inspector general report from 2016. And all this stuff coming out almost 20 years after the imposition of 9/11. So it was wrong even under that, even underneath the FISA. They used all these systems we've been hearing, even the FBI have been using, is going down the tubes and being abused and there's no apparent check and balance, except the court says, just now says, oh, yes, Snowden was exposing it right. It was illegal. Oh, and you also lied as the government. The facilities that are built in to take us down, and we really speak about voting. We speak about waves. We speak about parties. No, they've destroyed the infrastructure of the government, too, for their own needs, which is to make a war system. But TikTok has been hiring former CIA, FBI, and NSA officers. Americans who are previously employed by the intelligence agencies are now working for TikTok, and it's raising security concerns. The U.S. Intelligence Committee sees China as its top threat, but Americans who have left intelligence agencies are getting jobs at TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company, ByteDance. Okay, we see that it's not making sense there. Well, who are these people working for? When you go back, when you step up a little bit and see the global construct coming, that all these nation states are meaningless, and there's a different economic order coming, but it's all through the technocracy, and there's dominance in certain areas of that, it starts to make a little bit of sense in a way. But here we have, inside TikTok, the officials, are they former? Are these former officials, and they're invading that TikTok space? Well, how TikTok tracks you across the web, even if you don't use the app. So if they are, if this is an op that's been put in by the United States, as they say that they're former, but they're actually not, they're agents, these people are allowing that a TikTok app that you don't even use will track you across the internet. Consumer Reports found the company uses the same techniques as Google and Meta and other companies to collect personal data. Exactly to the point, if you ever read the policy statements and so-called privacy of these companies, you will see inside the terms what they allow, in other terms, is going to be an ability to track you across the internet. Even though it says privacy, it's an oxymoron. They don't intend privacy. Even the security firms, this is where I started looking for VPNs, absolutely cannot. Not one yet. They all do this, and they all hand to third parties, actually through the third party agreements, to places like Google that causes this cross-platform tracking, that if the NSA and the CIA and the FBI were working for you, they would have outed all this before. Are they working with the Chinese government? We don't know, because they're too closely linked, and they're not coming out with how this is supposed to work. Oh, yeah, you hear the representatives being told, or the senators being suggesting we need to control TikTok, but that's not the only one. They're all doing it across, tracking you through all of this. And then understand why you might see the FBI and NSA involved, where you hear that these people feed or allow disinformation for a project that they're working on, some outcome they're working on. I mentioned this thing about the tracking, this TikTok tracks you, but it didn't, at that time it wasn't acknowledged that you don't even have to use the app and they'll come track you. And this all happens to be how they're integrated into websites that you do. TikTok admits China staff can access European user data as FCC commissioner urges the app be banned. Well, to ban that app, why don't they just ban the internet? Because all these companies have interlocking problems inside their so-called privacy policies. TikTok said it would allow Chinese staff remote access to personal data of its European users just days after the senior U.S. regulator called for the social media phenomenon to be banned. Well, we got American former intelligence agencies in there too. I wonder how far that's going to go. They can look at your stuff too, apparently. But let's not get focused on TikTok. Yes, this is the first outlet. We can say a private company. Well, we can focus on China because China's got a competitor in the future, but all the companies are doing it. And I ask you, folks, go read the privacy policies very carefully. Yeah, my eyes are bleeding. I'm trying to find a company that doesn't do this. I really am. This path is going to be very narrow if there is one through this technocratic control structure. So while we get on the bandwagon to get rid of TikTok because it's China, every company's doing this. There's another thing that has to happen to for us as people, and understand that this technology is wrapped all up with the new technocratic currencies coming through, which are not currencies at all. They call them coins, but they're not. They're actually contract trust obligations. Why this becomes, this next report here comes important to us, the notice. The new Mac app wants to record everything you do so you can rewind it later. It's kind of like the health thing. I look at your iridology, we can tell you got a heart problem. Well, here, we'll now rewind. We'll just collect up all this, reduce, we'll compress this down 3,700 times so you can keep collecting up, and we can rewind later to find out what did you say when you had that argument with somebody. Oh, that's something I want, so you get it. Well, you know, just on the surface of that, what's going on there. They have a highly compressed file that actually watches everything you do. Do you think Apple's not also having the ability then to control your life a bit, know exactly what's going on because you think it's helping you? You think they're different than TikTok? No, they're involved. Do you think the military's not involved? They own the system. But no, they want to record everything and rewind it later so you can figure out, what did you do in that argument? What did you say? Well, I can just see this between husband and wife. That's just a tool from Hades. But what's going on behind the scenes, you don't know. The new Mac app wants to record everything you do so that you get to rewind it later. What an inducement. What an enticement. See, people are going to do it. What do they want? They want to watch your life. They want to put it in this technical and the social credit. They want to be able to adjust whether or not your behavior is correct. Yeah, lots of people aren't going to get into it. Eventually, the minds are dissolved, and they're going to be making it a part of your life. You won't even know the difference. I guess for those of us tonight, today, getting older in our life, don't think our way. Think about what the future holds for your little ones and how they're going to slowly get people into this problem, and they won't really know it. They don't understand what's going on. The benefit, there's a benefit that they're given, and that benefit then is exploited. I wish I could say otherwise. I wish an iridology program that has all the algorithms in it to identify health things, if that was private, boy, that's a boon of a tool. That it's not, or that you can't show that it's private, is absolutely a control sensor. That you have no idea what's going to go on. And when I say I read these so-called privacy policies, they're not. The third-party problem, as I told you, this is even private companies going third-party, but you know the government's back there because they also say that this has to do with law enforcement. They decide that, not you. This is a serious, serious problem. It's a serious vulnerability. And so, I think hopefully I've beaten this horse to death a bit. Sorry, horse. But I don't think people are appreciating this thing that's already in us and on us. How the death of a Kurdish woman galvanized women all over Iran. At first, the killing of Mahsa Amini by the morality police triggered protests only among a minority, but anger with the regime soon spread. I pick up this on the morality police part. Not that the rest is not atrocious, but how the death of a Kurdish woman galvanized women all over Iran is an interesting coalition of women against a morality police objective. And I bring the morality piece up as the most poignant part because when you see the technology I've been talking about today, there's someone back in the back that decides whether your morality meets their expectation. You just notice the United States says Nazism is either a religion or an ethnic group. They contort how they're going to look at this. If you haven't seen how censorship has been working in the Twitter, they're telling us how this is going to work. The truth ministry is alive and well. In Iran, we see a woman died over what the morality police in that state. It's easier to see this through the religious lens in Iran as well in this story, in this notice to us. But it galvanized women. And this is the only other thing I can see. I don't know how this is going to turn out for the Iranian women, but there was something through which all politics, all belief systems was penetrated. And it didn't matter that you were Persian or Kurdish or Iranian or whatever group of people that you came from, your ancestry came from. you pull together because of a morality police is no different than social credit, no different than the green religion. In fact, it's a different religion than all these women would have been. But this is a mutual coalescing that I feel that has to be done in all nations, because what's coming on us is behavioral control structure. Before our minds are warped by it and we don't understand that we shouldn't accept it, that we are already accepting it, those of us that think we are critically thinking and still use these confounding devices that are so cool, the phones and all this other technology, the morality police can immediately cause a coalition of women to come together to at least have an outcry about it, is what we have to do before we get into the technocratic view. They're showing us here that we can do it as a people, that they will do it is the problem. And what I think it starts to take is not what I see in the United States if we want to be free and be a free people to have our own thoughts. Whatever view it is, I actually could not care less that you say Nazism has a place. I could care less. That's what you believe. That's what you believe. Just don't come out of your bedroom and come out of your kitchen with it and force it down my throat. But so, as I said, I really do not cotton to anybody that's identifies as an ism or an ist. That shows me that there's some defect somewhere deep inside that needs to be fixed, and I don't know if I can do that for somebody else. But here, to me, here's your morality police. Notice that the morality police, I'm telling you, is these phones. It's the internal third-party connection to the cross-domain connection, which is also posed upon by the military. We see that through Twitter. They're bot armies, and our minds are being what I talked about last week. We are being controlled by that because these people believe, whoever these folks are, believe that they need to control your cognitive infrastructure for their outcomes. And we see that in this next story, Advanced Research Projects, an agency for health, ARPA-H. I just want to get to the bottom. You just read this, go to the thing, go to the bottom. And it says right here, ARPA-H will support transformative, high-risk, high-reward research to drive biomedical and health breakthroughs ranging from molecular to societal that would provide transformative solutions for all patients. If you don't hear the green religion and sustainability speaking in that last sentence, and they go through the cool stuff, like they're going to use this all to treat Alzheimer's and infectious disease, folks, does that make sense? Cancer, does that help, right? That this is what they're focused on. This is exactly what went through the COVID swindle and many others. Alzheimer's is potentially an immune disorder, and many others that together affect a significant number of Americans. Yeah, it sounds like a good cause, but did you hear it? Transformative high-risk reward, that's the inducement to get involved, to find the outcomes we want that are these transformative solutions that will affect and transform societal. It matters. Was a serious report here to read, moving into Technocracy News, humans as bioreactors, how DARPA pioneered the idea behind mRNA vaccines. We're back to the military. We're back to what's going on, what the control, what the far view is. DARPA is Technocracy News editor speaks here. DARPA is the technocrat transhumanist dark arm of the medical biodefense industry. mRNA vaccines, in quotes, are initially considered for military use against biowarfare, but Moderna was used test the concept on the entire global population. The results have been disastrous, but leaders refused to stop the injections. They weren't supposed to be leaders. Again, they're supposed to be officials that were subject to a limited form government. Enough said there. I've been talking about this forever and how to do that. Going on to the last sentence, the cozy relationship between DARPA and Moderna needs to be blown wide open. Well, I've been talking about this military connection forever. And, okay, those of you that heard it, you've heard it. We're not moving to expose this. I agree with the expose. Let's go back to the transhumanism condition. Let's look at the words they use, transformative. This is COVID-19. The Great Reset was a transformation going on. This is the words of sustainable development. now in action, connected to the military, as I've been saying it's going on. And what we have now is a document showing that these people have been working along this. When we have a document called Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance, Nanotechnology, Biotechnology, Information Technology, and Cognitive Science. Pulling myself back up through from last week to explain this is an ongoing thing. It's been going on. People are researching it. And we have another document that was titled that. It says in the beginning of the executive summary, in the early decades of the 21st century, concentrated efforts in unified science based on the unity of nature. So I interject a little bit here. I don't want to read too much interjection into this, but see, you see the connection to the nature. That's sustainable development. That's the green religion. It's part of the first sentence of what's going on. And then you have to understand, I'd ask you to consider, who are these people that they consider this for you and speak on societal transformation levels? When, if you live in a limited form government that was supposed to aid you, they wouldn't have this power. They would have to come to the people, notwithstanding the election problem, but they would have to come to you, not be the experts, so-called, to have a say. In the early decades of the 21st century, concentrated efforts can unify science based on the unity of nature, thereby advancing the combination of nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, and new technologies based in cognitive science. With proper attention to ethical issues and societal needs, converging technologies can achieve a tremendous improvement in humans' ability, societal outcomes, the nation's productivity, and the quality of life. This is a broad, cross-cutting, emerging, and timely opportunity of interest to individuals, society, and humanity in the long term. Again, who are these people that would profess to say they know what's better for you, and by what ethical standards are they mentioning? And I can just predict it's those in unity with nature. The phrase convergent technologies refers to the synergistic combination of four major NBIC or nanobio-infocogno provinces of science and technology, each of which is currently progressing at a rapid rate, A, near nanoscience and nanotechnology, B, technology and biomedicine, including genetic engineering, and C, information technology, including advanced computing and communications, and D, cognitive science, including cognitive neuroscience. And we get into a very serious problem here soon, right after if I get through this, relative to all this. What I want you to do when you see that, well, I'm hoping you hear all the words of the agenda all working through this, and these people are looking to decide what society will be in the future and how. Type in the word transform to do a word search and collect that up and go down and start reading for the word transform and how, what it pertains to. And you get down a couple clicks. It says, how will, and remember, science is all like epidemiology. It's cooking the book. So don't forget that. Not actual science. It's the outcomes that are lucrative to those that will produce the outcomes in their search for the research based on the funds that they're going to be given to do this. How will scientific knowledge and current technology evolve, and what emerging developments are envisioned? What visionary ideas can guide research to accomplish broad benefits for humanity? Again, this is the 1400s coming to live in us, not mankind. This is a made-up term, and it speaks to the animal nature and the animal in you that they're actually going to use as a lab rat, essentially, before to see what their outcomes are about. Though they speak it's science, it's not at all. What are the most pressing research and education issues? Heavy word on the word education, because this is what they're speaking to, too, relative to what I'm telling you about there after your little ones, because they're going to make a future that requires cognitive control. How can we develop transforming national strategy to enhance individual capabilities and overall societal outcomes? Okay, there's transhumanism based in technology, and how are they going to pre-program you to get to the outcome that they want? It's not a free-thinking people. In other words, if there was government money put to this, I would say they're infringing on your First Amendment right to free speech, which is your right to freely acquire and not controlled. What should be done to achieve the results, the best results over the next 20, 30 years tells me this is a proposed plan of implementation. Going back to go find, transform, you'll see the phrase strategies of transformation. This is a plan. is you go through and you keep looking at the word transform, the form of transform. You see the words transformative and transformation based in the other article, what they're after, what they're focusing on. Convergence of the science can initiate a new renaissance embodying a holistic view of technology based on transformative tools, the mathematics of complex systems, and unified cause and effect understanding of the physical world from the nanoscale to the planetary scale is nothing but modeling. If there's no facts, then it's all based in risk management against a nature that they haven't defined here. And this is all, again, a societal transformation these people are talking about. Unifying science and education. To meet the coming challenges, scientific education needs radical transformation from elementary school through postgraduate training. Your formative years, folks. Convergence of previous and separate scientific disciplines and fields of engineering cannot take place without the emergence. Here's your weak, your Achilles heel is this point. Cannot take place without the emergence of new kinds of people. New kinds of people. You reprogram software of life stuff. New kinds of people who understand multiple fields in depth and can intelligently work to integrate them. Inclusion, folks. New curricula, new concepts to provide intellectual coherence, and new forms of educational institutions will be necessary. Do you hear anything about understanding the math and knowledge and arithmetic and history and culture? You hear any of that in here? No, not at all, and you won't. Then you go on and you read on and on and on and on, and they bring up the concepts of things that they're going to do. Makes it sound grand. Life cycle, communication, education, mental health, aeronautics, space flight, food and farming, sustainable and intelligent environments, self-presentation of fashion, and transformation of civilization. Have you consented to any of this, folks? Did you vote on it? Did anybody vote on it? The minimum, the minority of voters, which now speak for the majority of the population anywhere, the other fraud that goes on. Did anybody ever see this come across your table to even get a partial idea that that's what they were trying to do here? That's what the technology is they're talking today does. And this is when they talk to having a control of your cognitive infrastructure. These people are back here with these documents showing the plan that they're going to do this to your little ones. They've done it to all of us, but to varying degrees. This is the inside plan. This is what they're telling you they need to do. One of them I already pointed out was an Achilles heel. You could stop that. You stop the whole process, suppose. I mean, if that was the only thing they had. This is what I tell you about looking at what they need, the battlefield. They have Achilles heels. If they can't get your consent, if you can make a comment that says that they didn't get your consent, if you can say that it showed pretty clearly without just more opinion than opinion that they derived your consent fraudulently, you start to make a better position where you're thinking clearly on a foundation from which they can never touch. And you're showing how they're exploiting a system, again, this is the due process part, that took advantage, and that's an extortion or a coercion. You put them in the side of crime right away. The control, foreign control of your cognitive infrastructure or your little ones should be a crime. And apparently it's not. If it is, they're not caring about it. Why? Because they're going to change this whole instance. They're transforming the whole of your government. And these agents, the change agents, are already inside. Exclusive State Department gives law enforcement intelligence agencies unrestricted access to Americans' personal data. We just heard in a private court case that this kind of stuff is illegal. Does it stop these criminals? No. Are the people stopping them? No. But the State Department now is involved. You've got to understand the relationship of the State Department to your right to move around and be, that's the Title VIII under the Nationalities Act. What's going on here? They're considering you to be criminals. Otherwise, law enforcement shouldn't have access. The State Department, the United States government, is giving law enforcement and intelligence agencies unrestricted access to personal data of more than 145 million Americans through information from passport applications that is shared without legal process or an apparent oversight, according to a letter sent by Senator Ron Wyden. This is one of these guys also. He's no good, but apparently they must have some good dirt on him, and he don't like it. He's been on this warpath for a long time. Probably the only good thing he's done. He sent a letter to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And so this is the same guy that's doing the front over there at Ukraine, if you think there's anything going on. The information was uncovered by Wyden during an ongoing probe in reporting Operation Whistle Pig, a wide-ranging leak investigation launched by the Border Patrol agent and his supervisor at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Border Protection's National Targeting Center. And so we see the underworkings. It's totally illegal what's going on. This kind of broad net that gets cast, and yet these agencies continue to do it, is not a government of, for, and by the consent of the people. We've lost this thing a long time ago. And one of the ways, and I'm not advocating this at this point because I don't see the people coherently thinking together, not mutually under mutual aid, if you will, that we would resort to this, but it's also being, at the same time, they come in illegally, and they're given the presumption of right, they're given the presumption of national security, and they're protecting it. While they attack you, they also attack another point of national security, I think, where we see a story, and I have to give it to you from one link because I couldn't find it from the source link. I just want to touch it because it is a theme going on. The FBI announces enhanced firearm background checks for young adults to start next week. The FBI, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, has announced that a mandatory wait period for 18 to 20-year-olds, legal adults, is as enacted by gun control known as the Cornyn-Murphy or the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act will go into effect on November 14, 2022, a couple days from now. That, I suppose, will be challenged. It should be challenged, but that's not all that came down. Oregon passes Measure 144, one of the strictest gun control measures in the United States. Oregon voters passed, it's not just on the youngs now, it's everybody. Oregon voters passed one of the country's strictest gun control measures, the long-sought goal of grassroots faith-based campaign. For those of you that think your gun rights are God-given, a faith-based group actually challenges and says, not only do you have to get a background check, you have to get a permit to be able to buy a gun, a weapon, a firearm, they call it federally. You have to get a permission to go and be able to buy one, and then you have to go do a background check to get that gun. And those of you that have guns, it says, you can keep your guns, but when you go want to buy a new gun, you're going to have to get that permit. And you're going to have to go through the safety course. It does not sound to me like Oregon understands, and this is not, can't be done by the voters. It wasn't done by a majority of the people in the state either. And this came as a surprise to me also that it even is broached. And I'm not sure if it's going to measure, go through the 7 days yet. They're still calculating. We have some theories about some of this. This made the ballot, and people agreed upon it, to take out and make you have to go permission, which seems to facially go against the most recent Supreme Court decision. You're not supposed to put any restriction on getting your guns. The right to keep and bear is a corollary right to acquire, and you don't have to ask for permissions. Why this has gone through permissions, I don't know. I'll give you another link about the faith-based. It's not a good God-given right, because now the faith-based attack came, and it's actually got agreed to by again, a blue state. The pioneer police state of Oregon is not a joke. What happens here starts to spread. I hope something I said today inspires you to get more involved. What you do is what's important, not what you think or say. How you think is going to be changed here soon. Is it slowly, incrementally being done? I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.